morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be when you're listening to this. My name is Charisse Alexander, your host of Your Collective. On today's episode, I'll be joined by Ranchelle Van Bryce, international speaker, radio host, online TV host, and of course, a fellow podcaster. The name of Ranchelle's podcast is Ignite Your Success with Ranchelle Van Bryce. So what we will be chatting about today is how do we weave our intuition and our spirituality or faith in with our business? How do we make decisions from a place of leaning into something that's maybe not as logical? So without further ado, let us dive in and chat with Ranchelle.
Good afternoon, and thank you so much, Ranchelle, for joining me today here on Your Collective. I am so honored and so pleased to have you here. For the listeners that are joining us today, I have Ranchelle Van Bryce, creator of The Sacred Art of Business, who's joining me here today. I've known Ranchelle for, what year are we in, 2024? So I don't know, maybe about 4 or 5 years, mm-hmm. roughly. And I'm actually going to turn it over to Ranchelle so she can tell us a little bit about who she is, what she does, and how did she get to this point in her career. So Ranchelle, without further ado, I turn it over to you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. And hard to believe it's been 4 years, or just over 4 years, that we've known each other. So as you said, my name is Ranchelle Van Bryce. I am the founder, the keeper of, that just came to me, the keeper of something called The Sacred Art of Business. And my career in business started, you know, quite a while ago. In 2000, I started my journey as being Curve's franchise owner. And we had 8 franchises. And so I did that for many years. And I always bring that up because there was so many valuable, whether we call them lessons or challenges or knowings, opportunities for expansion, you know, when I had the Curves. And so I had this great introduction to a very strategic part of business. And, you know, I know we're going to talk a little bit about that. And so, but aligning then with my purpose and my mission. And at that time, it was around empowering women to be able to make a decision about their health. And so, you know, I think whatever I do, the theme always is to be working mostly with women. I do work with some men, but to empower them to create decisions about themselves, and whether that's leading to being a sovereign being, whether that's being leading someone to become the CEO of their business, whether that's, you know, guiding and mentoring women to combine both strategy and spirituality. That is kind of an overarching theme that I always find myself in. And so my first, you know, first endeavor was with Curves Franchises. I recently, in the last year, received my Bachelor's of Science degree in metaphysics through the University of Sedona. And so I'm a non-ordained reverend. And then I'm working now towards my master's and PhD in metaphysics. And there's a couple of different areas that I can go, but one of them being business ethics, which for me is really the combination of the culmination of strategy and spirituality. And so, yeah.
Allow me to congratulate you on that. On the PhD in metaphysics. I'm just curious, how long did that actually take you? I'm just curious.
Still working on it. So my degree took, I was able to fast track my bachelor's degree. And so it took me a year to complete the degree. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just in the process, because of how long I've been in this world, I'm allowed to do my master's and PhD kind of simultaneously. The research. And so I'll have to, of course, then the master's in first and then the PhD thesis after that. But yeah, it's pretty exciting. And then I'll be a doctor of, and then whether it's the philosophy of metaphysics or in business ethics, or there's quite a few directions I can go. And so that's actually been part of the challenge, is deciding what I want my doctorate in. So
yeah. Well, congratulations on that. That is an accomplishment, because I know how full your days and weeks and months are. And so carving out time to study, I know definitely takes a commitment to, you know, examining what that path looks like. So congrats to you. So for those who might not be familiar with you and your business and your coaching, can you share for the listeners your journey in discovering the relationship between spirituality and business strategy and how you came to be a business coach that has really, really niched that out? Because you're really the first business coach that I ever met who is like, we're going to talk about spirituality and how we can really weave those together. So can you share?
I can. And it actually starts with one of my origin stories around curves. And so I was blessed to be the first person to purchase a Curves franchise in Canada. I was the second to open. And, you know, went to training in Waco, Texas, and was listening to the founder of Curves. His name was is Gary Haven. He's Curves is no longer, but and he was talking about the opportunity that we could have to have impact and influence and income. Although he worded it a bit differently, you know, depending on what we wanted to do with our franchises. And I remember sitting there, my son Jacob was born in March and I was in Texas in June. And so, very, very young. Mackenzie was also, she was just 18 months older. And I just became really aware that this was a calling for me. And then I was meant to have more than one. So I came back to Canada, opened Curves in North Battleford, Saskatchewan, where everyone thought I was crazy, that no one would support a women's gym only, and no one would support a gym that had a startup fee, like an admin fee.
Yeah.
And that certainly not people in North Battleford would support with a diverse background. And I just ignored everybody. I just knew that this was meant to be. And so I opened it up and we had planned in our business plan, we had decided that we would have, based on my research, so there's a strategy, right? Based on my research, we would have 250, maybe 300 people in a year, because that's typically what happens in gyms and in Saskatchewan. And we had 315 members in 3 weeks. And it was amazing. And because, so there was a part of it was strategy. There was a way, we had a marketing strategy. There was a pre-launch and a launch and, you know, and once you're open strategy. And I, for the first time ever, just listened. I'm a bit of a rebel. And so, you know, so everyone was quite surprised that, you know, they would, this is what you need to do. And I would do the thing. And so I started to see the benefit of thinking strategically, and didn't realize that I actually have a knack to think strategically. And so, you know, I had that kind of brain happening, brain power happening, and then a little bit of blind faith, not knowing that nothing else, that there was nothing else that was possible. And, you know, I was blessed growing up in an alcoholic home. And I say blessed because it allowed me to go into Alateen at a young age and sort of really firm foundation in spirituality. And so I'm 30 years old. I'm, you know, two young kids. My husband works away. He's, you know, home for a week and gone for a week. I make this decision. I want to build an empire, a legacy. We open up the Curves and it's go time. And, you know, we have our years, what we thought we're going to do in a year. We have it in 3 weeks and I feel like I'm on fire. And then my mom was there helping me with opening week. And she wanted to support and she could see a business opportunity. And so we should totally, you know, get into business together and you know, buy a Curves. And so we bought a second Curves. And so, you know, I left home. This is part of the origin story. I left home when I was 16. And then I get into business with my parents, magically thinking that all of the owies were gone because I was 30. Well, surprise, surprise, surprise.
What an opportunity.
There was an opportunity for me to totally embrace my core wounds and core fears.
And did you know it at the time? Like, did you see? Yeah.
No, I went in blindly. Yeah. And about halfway through my Curves career, there was this epic moment in my life where I realized that I was really sick. I was physically sick. And I realized that I'd spent 6 years, but about 5 years, working really, really hard to prove my value and my worthiness to my parents, and it caused burnout.
And in your business.
In my
business. While you guys are working together, you're like trying to show, look at how awesome I am.
Look at me, look at me. And, you know, we had our first $1 million in sales. It was about probably 2004. So I'm backtracking a little bit, where we had our first $1 million in sales. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I celebrated. I was alone. The kids were at school. I got this phone call from my mom, who was the bookkeeper, you know, bring out the champagne, because we knew what was going to happen. It was bring out the champagne. Her and I toast each other over the phone. I have a glass and I go into my to a tub. I love bathing, and a custom made tub, going to have a bath, and I start to cry. And I can't stop crying, and I'm ugly crying. Like, I'm talking like one of those, you know, like every like liquid coming out of, you know, of my face. And I had this realization that I was working so hard for this thing called success that I was attached to money, and I was miserable.
We hear it all the time.
Right? I was miserable.
Yeah.
And so as I then I started to witness myself trying to prove my worthiness, and it took about 2 years for me to decide that I really wanted to integrate the direction of my spirituality into business. Mm-hmm. And there was tons of resistance, Therese. It was not welcomed at all. Yeah. Although my parents are spiritual in nature, you know, they had a plan, they had an expectation of how I was going to behave. And all of a sudden I'm off track. There's Ranchel doing her, you know, woohoo thing.
Not only that, you're being a rebel. Stop it.
And I'm being a rebel. I'm being a rebel. And, you know, so I had an early opportunity in my career to know that I needed to integrate both for myself. Mm-hmm. However, I was closet woohoo until about 2017, 2018, where no one knew the depth of, like, I had been, like, I was certified in Reiki, and I was a Karuna master in Reiki, and I did that for my own healing and some health challenges that my daughter was having when she was younger. I, you know, started studying things like the Course in Miracle and all Wayne Dyer stuff and all Bruce Lipton stuff. And I've always been an avid reader and never really talked about it with anybody until 2018, when I realized that there was an opportunity for me to bring both spirituality and strategy.
So then that tells me that when we met, because it wouldn't have been much later after that you and I would have met. So you were just, for lack of putting it a better way, you were literally just coming out of the woo closet.
Mm-hmm. I did an event in 2020 called the Sharp Woman Event. Mm-hmm. I co-hosted that with another woman, and who was very strategic, linear strategic. Yep. I'm strategic, not linear.
Yep.
And the purpose of the event was to introduce foundational woo into corporate. So we had a corporate sponsor. We have many corporate sponsors. And when I presented to the corporations, I told them, I am closet woo-hoo. I want to bring in the science of the woo. So think Joe Dispenza, Bruce Lipton, right? The science part of woo to mainstream. And they said yes. So, and everyone's like, no, they're never going to, that's a bank. They're never going to support, you know, a woo event.
And what do you call foundational woo? Like for you?
Yeah, great question. So foundational woo is more of the science perspective, the concept of why do thoughts become things? What's the scientific, what's the neuroscience, what's the quantum physics behind it versus, you know, listening to, and I love Abraham Hicks, let's jump in the vortex. Let's just feel good.
But you were making it really digestible, right? Because if you're not somebody who thinks in an abstract sense, you can't understand how you get this woo download, and how do we actually make that, bring that into the physical world. So you were making it digestible for analytical minds.
Yes, absolutely. And it was so much fun to do that. And then It just kind of it literally exploded from there, because then when I was talking to people about marketing, and there were, you know, things like, I hate Facebook and this algorithm. And I'm like, well, you know, Facebook isn't going to, you know, show all of your posts if you don't like Facebook. It's an energy.
Yes. So
and then people were like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, so then I would, then I could really get into the energy stuff, the woohoo. And say to people, so if you're building a marketing strategy or building a, you know, a funnel, let's say, well, I am calling it a marketing vortex now, just for fun. and so you're building this, you know, strategic plan. What are all the things that you believe about your business and yourself and your clients and the economy? This is huge. This is huge. Like someone told me the other day that it's going to get really hard now because of what's happening in, you know, in the world of the economics. And I keep myself oblivious to a lot of different things. And I was like, that might be your version, your interpretation, your experience. I refuse to participate.
Agreed.
And stuff like that. And that's, and I've said that lots. I refuse to participate. And my very strategic people are like, well, you can refuse to or not, but it's going to happen. I'm like, not to me, it's not.
Agreed. And I know that folks that are listening are like, what do you mean? Economics? Yeah, okay. Yes, there's a global village of economics. Nobody is disputing that. But I think really what you're trying to say, and I was very much the same way with mortgages, I would say to clients, turn off your TV, stop watching. Yeah. Just stop watching it, because it's not, you're building anxiety with this, and we attract what we, what you're putting out is exactly what you're going to get. So I 100% understand that mindset. And for me, it served me very well, not steeping myself in all this fear mongering and the world is coming to an end and markets are going to crash and it's going to be, hey, it's cyclical. It's going to happen. What are you going to do about it? Are we going to sit here and wring our hands, or are we going to do something different with the energy? So thank you for saying that.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, my partner, Rob, very strategic in nature. And he's like, how can you not know what's going on with the news? And I'm like, well, honey, you always do. I don't have to worry about it.
That's always
been
my attitude.
If the world is going to end, you will let me know. Thank you. I love you and appreciate that.
As everybody's going to let you know, because somebody's going to say, hey, did you, and you're never going to be too far behind, because people will say, hey, did you see this? And you're like, oh, sorry, I have my notifications off. I didn't. What's going on? And now you're in the loop and you're never that far behind. So yeah, that's very true. So you were saying that the Sharp event was your opportunity to bring in woo in a way that was digestible for, we'll say, probably more hardcore strategically minded folks. And it went off like a bang. So clearly people were ready to have this stuff presented to them in a different, in a way that was different for them to digest, but still accessible. So then what happens from there?
Yes. And I think that what you're saying is, I want to pause and just really share this. So in the world of marketing, I always say to people, meet your client, your ideal client, your target audience, where they are and take them where they need to go.
Yep.
So an example would be at the event, we set up the room. We had a feng shui expert come in and set up the room. And so everything was strategically aligned for the kind of event that we wanted. We chose colors with purpose. We chose, we had centerpieces for a purpose, quotes for a, like everything had a reason at, and attached a strategic component attached to it. And not once in any of the copy did I talk about the room's going to be feng shui and you're going to feel great. We had Reiki masters clearing the energy in every corner of the room. Not once did I say to everybody, yeah, the reason you feel so good is because I have some really cool, very woohoo people who are in the corners, right? Doing Reiki symbols and chanting. And you know, we had musical instruments there for a reason. And so important, you know, to share that with people, because you do not have to announce to the world what you're doing. You can just do it.
100%.
You can just do it.
And it's like with full heart-centered intention, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, I'm very similar in some senses, like in my office environment. And I don't advertise these things, but there was one day that I was cleansing. And my door's closed, so it's not like anybody's coming in or anything. But of course, they can smell it. Yeah. And somebody had come into my office. They're like, "Were you just burning incense?"
Yeah. I'm
like, "Yes." Like, guiltily, yes, I was. But I think that people come into your life for a reason, season, or lifetime, right? So when this person had come in and they're asking me if I was like cleansing or whatever the case may be, I was like, "Yeah, I was." And it was because he asked, he obviously had a familiarity with it. And I said, the energy felt stale. So I opened the window and I burned some Palo Santo and quietly. So because I didn't want to offend anybody, but energy can become very stagnant, right? You can feel it, sense it in an environment, and good on you for intentionally aligning that event so that it wasn't offensive to anybody, but still at the end of the day, it was obviously very successful.
It was very, and afterwards, when people said, "I've never been to an event like this, this is like one of the most successful events. I was so comfortable." Like I usually drained at the end of the day, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Yeah, that's my woo." And then I would explain to people, right? Yeah. So that they had an understanding. The difference, I think, truly, Charisse, is that they experienced it first.
Yeah. It was very visceral. You could, and once you experience it, you can't, you said it yourself, it was different. So.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And even, you know, when I work with people and they'll come to me for marketing, and we can hammer out a great strategic plan in a very short period of time. And then it's all mindset and spirituality and the energy behind. And so a lot of what I do is harmonize mm-hmm. both that, so the both masculine, divine masculine, and divine feminine. So my experience with curves was I was in a masculine energy, mm-hmm. a divine masculine, and I was achievement oriented, and I'm hunting, and I'm killing, and I'm, you know,
metaphorically
pulling the trigger, and like, yeah, all of those. And then the divine feminine is the creation, the manifestation, the dreaming, the visualizing, the envisioning, the sending.
Also the surrender. The surrender piece, right? Having a little bit of blind faith.
Yes, absolutely. And so then we can have that harmony between the two.
Which is a great segue into my next question, which is, so in this particular example where you know, it's corporate energy. And the assumption would be that there'd be some resistance to how do we bring faith and some more divine feminine energy into a corporate environment. So, but now that folks have had the experience, did you still face some resistance? Because now, you know, you're using the event, or you have the event as kind of a catalyst to springboard into coaching clients. And even within that, so when you make that transition from, okay, you've had this experience, but now if you want more, here's how you can have more of that. Was there still some resistance? And then how do you begin to merge that so people can actually understand and connect, like what that what the balance is really within that?
Beautiful question. So I think one of my experiences was that there was something really intriguing. I'll even use the word the words that were shared with me, charismatic, about the way that I was presenting. And I, you know, just had a very clear intention of what I wanted. So we'll stick with the event that day to look like. And so then people were intrigued, and more than anything, intrigued. And then as we started to talk and they realized that I, you know, and this is kind of funny, you know, that I wasn't burning incense and I wasn't chanting and I didn't bring drums out and I didn't have my, you know, all of the things that I actually have, you know, near me and in my desk, that I wasn't bringing that to them until they were ready. Mm-hmm. And I think one of my gifts is my ability to take something very complex and bring it into bite size, digestible, that's the word that you use, pieces, and meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. So if I had somebody who really did had zero faith, then I didn't talk about spirituality. I brought in quantum physics. I brought in Joe Dispenza's, work, Bruce Lipton's work, Greg Braden's work, which is, more scientifically based. If someone had faith and they were raised in a certain religion, then I would bring more God words into it, more spirituality, and trying to assist the person to let go of the conditioning of institutions and embrace more of a spiritual version of what I see God's role is in our businesses. I'll use that. But now, whether we use God, Allah, Buddha, higher power, creator, divine, intelligence, whatever word we use. And so it's again, and from a, and I'm going to bring business into it from a business perspective, it's meeting people where they're at. Not once, and I think this is the key, not once did I try to convince anybody that I was correct. I allowed people to have their beliefs and might point out how that belief was leading to a certain outcome. But if they were comfortable with that belief and they wanted that belief, that then cool. Like, who am I to say that that's incorrect? That's a wrong way of thinking. And so I think because of that as well, people became really comfortable with me very quickly.
That's something that I still struggle with myself. And it reminds me of something that you had, when you and I had worked together a couple of years ago, it was a question that you posed, and it was around the need to be right.
Yes.
Right. And I was reminded of this literally 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I was actually asking for, I was putting out there needing some guidance with something work related. And I'm like, gosh, I'm really struggling here. Like I'm really struggling in how to go with how to sort through this. And I tossed an oracle card, and it literally had said, like, maybe you need to give up the right, like that energy of needing to prove a point and be right. Just be. Right? And maybe stop using the verbiage. And this is often what I say to people when I'm talking to them anyways, is like, I don't love the verbiage of right and wrong, because then it absolutely reinforces the idea of I need to be right in this. Maybe let's embody more of in alignment with me. Because like you just said, how do I know what's in alignment with you and your purpose and where you feel like you need to be on this journey? And it's so individual, right? So
100%. And yes. And so one of my mentors said in general, so he's speaking in generalities, we have a need to be right or a need to not be wrong. We can switch. And so when we look at maybe conflict, we can look and observe that there is someone who needs to be right and another person that maybe needs to be right or not be wrong, and therefore conflict
ensues.
Surfaces. And if we move into what if there was no right and there was no wrong and there was just an experience, there might be a point of view. I love people and say, well, these are the facts. I'm like, those are your facts, and I honor your facts. That might not be my fact, and people can struggle with that. Well, no, but it's there. It's written down. Yes, and I can find just as much proof that that is not a truth or non-existence that you can. And so I think another reason why the world has so much conflict is people are speaking to be understood versus seeking to understand someone else's point of view. And again, that goes to the need to be right or the need to not be wrong. And can you just, allow yourself to be wrong all day long and not justify, not justify the behavior?
That's a tough one.
It's very tough.
For many, myself included. And like I said, I witnessed it, and I love when it's presented to me. My oracle cards have been on fire this week.
I want to bring that up. You're talking about the oracle cards, and so part of what we can merge with spirituality and strategy. I'm going to give you a great example. So thank you for this. Is I am currently developing a program called Marketing Mastery, and it's the A Sustainable Path to Success is what it's called. And it's the premise is I can teach everybody everything I know about marketing in 12 weeks. And I've been in this world, you know, since a very, very long time. And it was my world before Curves. And so I can teach that. And then I want to offer 12-month support. And so I'm very strategic. I'm working on the website. I'm working on copy. I'm, you know, what's the headline? What's the subheadline? What's the hook? What words need to be bolded? What's the price? All like, what's the email sequence? What are the ads going to look? So all of that. Mm-hmm. And I start, you know, I'm on fire and I've pages. Oh, shit. I know that your audience can't see it. That's my note. So for that, I'm like pages and pages of notes. Then I either will use my body as a way of means to say, you know, what's the truth in this, the right mm-hmm. or wrong, the right way, the wrong way. Again, not right or wrong, but I might use a pendulum.
Yep.
I might use oracle cards or muscle testing.
Yep.
And then I tap into source and I'm like, okay, these are all of the headlines that I think out of 10, which one should I be using now? So truth, this headline, this headline, this headline, this, like, so truth, what should I charge? Truth, how many, how long should I be doing this? You know, so I always start with truth. What does the, so I asked God, divine source. Yeah. And so I might have all the ideas and my brain, my strategic brain can put it all together, but then I hand it over to source.
Yeah.
And so, because I don't believe in my world of coaching and consulting, one of the things I hear over and over again drives me crazy is charge what you're worth. And if you believe that you have, if you believe you have worth, self-worth, and you're confident, you're going to charge more. And if you're not charging more, it's because you're not confident. Charge what you're worth. And I get really, I get very like on my soapbox about that. I don't think any one of us can charge quote unquote what we're worth. Number one. Number two, why do I want to continue the conditioning of money,
quantifying
and worthiness yeah. are connected? Like that's Excellent. Just, that's insane.
Yeah.
And why am I trying to think that I need to decide what to charge when if I tap into the universal law of infinite supply and, you know, higher power spirit is the provider of all, then why would I not ask where the idea came from?
Yeah.
Ask source how long the program should be. What should I be charging? How many people should I invite? Who's my specific target, like audience?
Yeah.
That's how I look. That's a really great, tangible example of how I marry those two things in my business all the time. I don't make decisions. I get ideas. I write stuff down. I check in.
I love it. And I, you know, I've definitely been trying to lean into that more myself personally, just because, and even if I'm not actively leaning into it, it'll be like, we'll be talking about numbers. And this is how I always get validation, right? Yeah. And it'll be like, we'll be having a conversation just like, I think the commercial should be here, da, 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 da. And I'll toss out a number. I'm like, I think it's going to land here. I'll be like, no, 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 no. It's not. And all the masculine energy reasons why it's not going to land there. And then we'll do this huge round robin and it'll just eventually land exactly where I said it would land. So maybe if we'd gone there first, we would have avoided the 90 days or 120 days of conversation around that. But that's okay, because I don't need to prove that I'm right. And I'm not, I personally am rarely in the energy of like, I'm not okay with being wrong. I'm very okay with being wrong. And I don't feel, always feel like I need to be right. So, and I think for those who might be listening and they're like, what we're talking about is really using your gut instinct, right? That's really what we're talking about, paying attention to it. Like if you wanted to like drill it all down and make it really simple, it's your gut instinct. And Ranchelle, you're talking about many ways to get there, all of which I've used, right? My body, putting it out there, seeing what comes in. What do I feel good about? What do I hear? Or what ideas come in that really seem to be right? And just leaning on that. And sometimes you'll get it right. Yeah. And I don't actually think that it's ever wrong. Sometimes no,
right?
You need
exactly.
to
go. Like, language is very limiting. Right?
Yeah. Because I don't ever think that it's actually wrong. Sometimes you need to go in, because we live in a world of relativity. So mm-hmm. as someone posed the other day, how can you know what joy feels like if you don't know what sorrow feels like? How can you know and recognize the light if you don't experience the dark? So sometimes we have to go in a direction that doesn't feel amazing so that we can also learn what we want to bring more of or what is alignment, and really actually also maybe even be reminded of gratitude in that whole experience. So I'm learning how to wrap my arms around all of it and have genuine gratitude for the pieces I really enjoy and even the ones that I don't enjoy so much. And I think that once you can get yourself into that place and space, then you can really surrender. And that doesn't mean just being, as some people think, and I want you to speak on this, because I think sometimes when we use the word surrender, that people think that means just throwing your hands up and being like, okay, universe, just do with me as you will and bat me around life. What does surrender actually mean in business?
Yeah. Oh, great question. You know, if we, you know, tap into the energy of surrender for ourselves, you know, and, you know, I remember the first time I was asked to surrender and by divine. And so I was in a, you know, I had this, like, it was one of the first times I heard a voice in the sense of I sense a voice. So it's really interesting how I receive different messages. And so I heard this surrender, and immediately my brain went to, I can't give up. And I had this image of a war and soldiers, white flag, surrender, taken to prison. And I realized how difficult the English language can mm-hmm. be.
Absolutely.
And the meaning that we give different things. And so I started to, well, what else could surrender be? Surrender could be, you know, I'm letting go of my expectation of the outcome. Surrender is, I'm swimming upstream, uphill, fighting every battle by myself. And what if I just surrendered into, does it really have to be a battle?
Yeah.
What would happen if, like, what else could happen? How else can I look at this? Surrender for me is surrendering my intellect, my brain, Pan, and letting go of the need to figure stuff out. Mm-hmm. That has been definitely a theme the last 3 years. I need to figure stuff out. That's the strategy, right?
Yeah.
That's the strategic side. Our brains are designed to figure out. Our brains actually, pardon me, are designed to see the absence of something, to solve a problem.
Yeah.
Then we're to surrender. So here's surrender in business life. Then we're to surrender to, well, we could use like the quantum field. We could go to science.
Yeah.
We surrender to, I don't have to figure it out. In fact, I cannot figure it out with the same brain that created the said challenge.
Yeah.
I'm going to surrender and say, hey, so mine would be more spiritual. Hey, big guy. This is how I talk. Hey, big guy. I note here that I have this really kind of heavy problem. And so I obviously created the problem. So I need you to show me the truth in it. I need you to show me another way through this. I need you to help me explore what part of me is standing in my way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I surrender trying to figure it out, and I allow. So surrender to me is an allowance of the receiving of the message in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. I love that. And, you know, it's such an abstract way to, and the difficulty, because I remember when you're using these words like surrender, and you immediately have that idea, that visual that you gave up. And that's why you're so bang on when you say the English language is really tricky, because it's not the words so much as the energy. Right. And if you can feel into energy, then you understand it's how do you shift the energy around how you are approaching the situation. And so to me, surrender means really just being open to the situation being resolved in a way that I can't see. Because we like to know the outcome. We like to say, okay, I want outcome A. And I do believe that the universe gives you exactly what you ask for. So you're going to get it. If you believe that, then you will get it. But we have already planned in our mind all of the steps that it's actually going to take to get there. And that's not how the divine works. The divine is always trying to bring it to you in the best and highest good for all those involved. And so it's not necessarily going to unfold as fast as you want it or exactly in the way that you want it. So it's, am I willing to give up how I'm getting from point A to point B for that desired? And you're right. Sometimes the outcome is not exactly what you envision because, again, if you're a manifesting master, sometimes we're not clear on the verbiage. So,
right. And even things like, I'll give you a great example. Last year, 2023, in the beginning of the year, I made a decision that I wanted to travel more. I wanted a bit more of a lifestyle. I work from my home, and so I do that so I can work anywhere in the world. And I decided I really wanted to experience more tropical in the winter. So I wanted to have a place in Mexico or Costa Rica. I wanted to go to Hawaii. And so I ended up manifesting. So this co-creation, my father having some weird medical challenge emergency in last summer. So last July, my parents needed extra support. And I am the only person who could offer it in the way that, because I work from home. So I moved in with my parents part-time and lived with them in Edmonton and Red Deer, which is where I reside. And they live in Mexico in the winter. And they needed someone literally to carry their bags. They were both in a wheelchair at the time, so limited mobility, carry their bags, get them ready for Christmas, help them shop, you know, all of the things. And so I did that. So I left with them beginning December. I was there for 2.5 weeks. My other sister went there for January. They thought they were going to be okay in February. They needed a bit more, you know, assistance. So they asked if I would come in March. I said, sure. My dad says, can you come at the end of March? Absolutely. You just book the ticket. Tell me when. He messages me the next day and said, oh, by the way, I have you booked on a ticket in March the 18th. And or March 12th, and we weren't leaving till April the 18th. So then I have another 5 weeks in Mexico.
Yeah.
Right. I went and did a retreat in Hawaii. I'm sharing this because most people would reverse engineer.
Yes.
Right. So there's that masculine energy.
Yeah.
Reverse engineer. How many new clients does somebody need? Like, what, yes. What is that? Like, how much more revenue? Mm-hmm. So, and the funniest thing is that my revenue was, it's all, but my lowest point I've ever had in my whole entire career as a coach since 2011.
Yeah.
All time low. And I was traveling. I was living in Mexico. And I share this with people because if I would have made the decision that the only way I could get to Mexico and the only way to go to Hawaii was if I was making X amount of dollars, I would have limited my experience.
You block your blessings. You effectively are blocking it. That's why, and that's where the surrender comes in, right?
And that's where the surrender comes in.
Because you just put it out. That's what you want. That's my intention.
Yes.
And if we don't get so caught up on every single step of what that looks like, because who cares? Like, really, if I want to spend 6 months in a warm climate, now you might want to put some parameters on that. And I say to people, I'm like, you got to balance it with like putting a full box around it. Like, what are the core pieces that you want within that? And then like, what are you willing to let go? So in this particular scenario, and it's a great example because you're obviously okay with hanging out with your parents. You didn't put a time frame on it. You just said winter.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
In beautiful places. Beautiful. Right. Yeah. So you were surrendering how it looked, but you knew what the outcome was that you wanted. And so you got exactly what you asked for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And within that gift of the lowest revenue, because that really, I mean, I don't want to pretend to anyone that there wasn't moments of complete and utter, I'm not sure what's going on, because I really didn't know what was going on. Now, the surrender part in that was, we still need to take action. So surrender doesn't mean I'm going to sit and just meditate and hope. Surrender is not hope. And so what I did, there's a couple of things. So the first one, I faced something that was hard for me to face. And the question I asked was, perhaps maybe my time of being self-employed, I've been in self-employed, you know, since I was 30 years old. I'm 50, I'll be 56 this year. Maybe that's come to a close. Mm-hmm. So that was the first question. The second question was, maybe I'm not supposed to be coaching the way that I'm coaching. So maybe I'm never off track, but I was looking for an opportunity of, if I'm going in the wrong direction, I really need you to tell me. So the first question I asked was, am I supposed to go and actually apply and get a job? Which to me was that was the most devastating thing I could ever do.
Yes, it is.
Right? Like, I'm just being completely transparent with people.
And it's like going to jail is what it feels like.
Yeah, it would feel like I was going to jail, but I was willing to do I was being called to do. I wasn't being punished. I knew I was being called. And so the first thing I said, I need a clear sign. I don't do hints. I don't do perhapses. I need a clear sign that I'm to stay, that I'm on the right track. I just need to make adjustments. So I need clear sign, God, clear sign. And that's why I was like, clear sign, clear sign, clear sign. I went in to go have a bath. I love water. I went to go have a bath. I was in Edmonton at my mom and dad's. They have a little like whirlpool tub. I pour myself a bath and I go onto YouTube because I'm going to listen to meditation, and up pops something I've never seen before, a person I've never heard of before. And it literally said, this is your sign. I was like, okay, thank you, universe.
I'm listening.
So I knew then, okay, I'm not supposed to go get a job. Excellent. So then the next question was, if I'm on the incorrect path and I need to be on a different path, I need you to make it so apparent to me that I'm on the wrong path. Because a lack of revenue does not necessarily mean a wrong path. An absence of something is just an absence of something, an opportunity to grab our attention. And one way to really grab Ranchelle's attention is through the energy of money.
Yeah.
For most people.
Yeah, actually, for most people, for sure.
And so so then I asked if I needed to be on a different path. So am I on the right path or do I need to be on a different path? And it became very clear that I had taken not a wrong turn or a U-turn that I had gone down a path, an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to reveal, an opportunity to understand and see more of the truth of who I am. Mm-hmm. And I had swung the pendulum way over to more spirituality. So more who of the woo who, and I had left my strategic side. I stopped embracing. I stopped that part of myself.
So balance.
So then it was like, oh, balance. And so then I was like, okay, what does balance look like? What does harmony look like? And it was like, why am I not talking about, I love business. I love marketing. I love sales. And I had stopped talking about that in about probably 2022. Mm. And so it took a while for me to have all the experiences I was to have, for me to go, what's going on? And, you know, and how do I balance divine masculine and divine feminine?
I want you to say that one more time, because I thought that was a juicy nugget. You said the lack of something is simply presenting itself or inviting you to, how did you phrase it?
Yeah.
The lack of something is inviting you to, I mean, it sends you really on an inquiry, right?
It's
really what it does.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So the lack or absence of something doesn't have to mean anything other than it brings you to an awareness of
something needs to shift.
Something needs to shift within you. So yeah. I wasn't doing anything wrong. It was just, you know, it's like the absence. One of my favorite sayings, like, I'm sorry, I can't remember who it's from, but the absence of evidence is an evidence of it being absent.
The absence of evidence is evidence of it being absent.
Yeah.
That's actually a great way to put it.
And so you can look at something and go, I'm missing. Revenue. There's an absence of revenue. So many people will think, I'm doing something wrong. Facebook's not working. Marketing's not working. Sales isn't working. People aren't buying. Like, all of a sudden they go into this huge story. And what if it was just an awareness of, oh, I have this absence of cash flow because everything is created as a whole. That means that the presence of cash flow is also here. I just can't see it with my five senses because we're trying to think our way through things.
Yes.
Right. So if there's no, if the absence of cash flow is nothing more than, hey, we have an absence of cash flow and that's all it is. And there's no story, right? Then we can go, oh, that's interesting. It's an absence of cash flow. So what do I need to change? What do I need to look at differently? Who do I need to be? What thoughts do I need? What stories, right, belief system do I need so that I can then see this through a different lens, not my five senses, but through a different lens?
So this was this year. So if we recap that then, right? So you put out there, I want to spend more time in warm climates in the winter. You're having the lowest revenue generating from coaching that you've had in over 10 years.
Yes.
So you then go and say to the divine, okay, send me a sign. You get your sign, like, yeah, within minutes, practically. Okay.
Minutes, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you say, okay, great. Then am I on the wrong path? We'll say divine intelligence, because then you had a realization, a light bulb goes off. It's like, wait a minute. Here's what's changed in the last 2 years. And that's actually, if you think about it, it took 2 years to get to this realization. So I wonder then, were there indicators along the way that you're like, but I guess it didn't need to happen until this point in time.
No, like, it didn't even happen, because, and this is the thing, if we allow ourselves to be grateful for the isness of the, right, the isness of the thing. So my father ends up, you know, having a massive coronary because there was an accident and his artery is punctured. He ends up somewhat paralyzed at first, and right, he has a do not resuscitate in place that they can't find or see. My dad is alive because of couldn't find it. Extremely grateful.
Yeah.
Right? So there's no such thing as coincidence. There's no such thing as accidents, or there's all this synchronicity.
Yes.
So all of a sudden I'm able to spend time, you know, with my parents. Now, I could look at that through a linear fashion, right? And I could look at that and go, oh, I took my eye off the marketing ball. I stopped doing all the things to create success in my business. All true. And so the consequence of that, of course, was I didn't have anybody at the top of my funnel. And all of that is true. And there was so much more for me. Opportunities for me, the juiciness of life, the opportunity for me to really pull back. And it was a time that I was able to mend relationship with my parents. It was a time for me to mend relationships with other people. Then when I came back, I what do I need to do? Like, what am I not doing? What do I need to do differently? And I was like, ooh, look at that. All the things that create business success, I stopped doing. And I laughed. I'm like, how does somebody who knows marketing, who knows sales, like, I breathe building business, I breathe marketing, I breathe sales, how does someone go off track? Well, the answer is I didn't. I was meant to take that path.
Yes.
So I could come back and go, oh, these are the things that one needs to do. And if we don't do these things, then business doesn't happen.
That's why I always say I don't love when people are like, I made a wrong decision. Well, did you?
Yeah, there's no such thing.
Did you? Like, were you, and as you've just, like, look at all of the, I don't really want to say value, but look at all that came from just this journey that you took, just a little sidebar maybe, and what came from that, and the gratitude for the isness of what is. And I love when you say that, the gratitude of the isness of what is, because look at all the beautiful things that actually came from this slight little, I don't even want to call it a detour. I think it's just part of the journey.
Words are hard. Words are difficult. When you accept the isness of everything, and you don't look at it like it's good or bad or right or wrong, and you just allow yourself the freedom to feel the gratitude. Also, though, Cherise, you know, I think one of my experiences in the winter, so this is probably February. It was before I went back to Mexico. I was I continued to drive back and forth between Edmonton and Red Deer, even though I didn't need to. And I needed an opportunity to do some healing. And I was very blessed that I was able to stay at my parents' house. And I was with Rob, who, you know, although he had no clue, I mean, no clue in the sense of he did not understand my need to be on my own, but allowed me the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I was going through a really, it's never a dark night of the soul, but I think I'll use that language. I was going through something really heavy, that the energy was heavy. Mm-hmm. And all of my owies, all of my core wounds and core fears, once again, it came to the surface. My self-worth, my self-value, my confidence, my self-esteem. And I had this awareness that I still, although I didn't think I still had this connection to more money, more value. And then I got to experience, how does one have self-confidence and self-esteem? How does one coach somebody in business when they're at their lowest point of revenue ever?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I'd love to say I went through it gracefully. There was days that it was graceful and days where I was yelling at, for me, it's God. I was yelling at God, you know, angry with God, you know, and then I was like, wow, isn't that cool? I'm in this total victim state. It's not God's fault that I'm here, right? Like, and it's no one's fault that I'm here. And
you manifested. It's what you created.
Absolutely. For a purpose and for a reason. And now, now I know. I mean, I really am a firm believer that this new program that I'm launching would not have happened. I know it wouldn't have happened unless I went through all of the things that I went through. And so I'm just grateful.
And I love that you tell that story, right? Because, I mean, you and I talked last week, and I said to you on that call, and I'll say to you again today, that I finally now understand what you mean when you said, like, really have gratitude for the things that don't feel good, which is really tough for people to lean into, right? Because what do we do when things come up that we don't really love? What's the response? There are official responses, but we almost always avoid the lean in, the wrapping your arms around it, because it's like being, I love the verbiage that you use around being in that storm, lack of putting it better. And I have a visualization on my own about what that looks like, but it's just chaos. Like, you can't see, like, you can't make sense of anything. You don't know if it's up, down, right, left. Like, it just feels like chaos. And those are always the beautiful moments to, like, surrender, because you can't. It's for a reason. I think it's to actually come up so that you are forced to surrender, because you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. And how many times we try to avoid our feelings, like we feel bad, so we're going to either numb. We're going to numb with alcohol or drugs or scroll through our phone. Yeah. Or we go to exercise to change our state, but really what we're just, that's, which is great. And it just, sometimes we're just numbing ourselves. So we don't allow ourselves to feel because we actually don't know as a human species. A lot of people don't know how to self-soothe. And so we're trying to constantly, I'm going to avoid conflict. I'm going to avoid pain. I'm going to avoid the argument. I'm going to avoid this pain. I'm going to avoid a lack of self-confidence. I'm going to avoid a lack of self-esteem. I'm going to avoid disliking my body. I'm going to avoid and instead I'm going to like pretend everything's okay. And I'm going to go do this thing. And I'm going to go do this thing. And then one day you wake up and you actually can't avoid it any longer. There's no way to avoid the amount of pain that you're in.
Yeah.
And that's when you surrender. It's like, okay, I feel like a big pile of shit.
Yeah.
I have this lack of self-esteem and this lack of self-confidence and a lack of health and a lack of finances and a lack of love. I have all of this absence of stuff and I need to just feel like shit. I just need to feel bad. I just need to feel bad about what I'm doing and where I'm at in my life. And I can, and let me feel the fear. And that's what I ask God to do. Like, show me where the fear is coming from, and then allow me the opportunity to feel the fear.
Yeah.
Allow me to cry. Allow me to scream. You know, allow me to throw things. Allow me to want to throat punch things and people. Just allow. And then I could surrender. And it was this beautiful, at the end of the storm, truly, you know, you're walking out of the storm and then it's sunshine. It's like, oh, okay, I feel so much better because I'm not storing that in my body as well.
I love that. I love it so much because, you know, I've recently started actually taking what you're talking about, right? Because we all feel these things in our body. And I don't know where we got the idea. So it's great that we're having more awareness around not storing it and talking through it and processing it and so on and so forth. But I don't know where the idea actually came from that it was good to hold on to all that ick in your body. I think that's actually why there's a health crisis right now, because we've done so many generations of thinking not talking about it is how you actually get through it. And I don't know how many times I say to people in my experience, like, holding on to that shit is what makes you sick. It doesn't matter how much you exercise, how well you eat, so on and so forth. And the awareness that holding on to it. So what do I ask for? Show me what I'm holding on to.
Yeah.
Right. And I use my body, like you talked about. I use my body to guide where there's, there was an awareness today. I'm like, you know what? I haven't had an eczema issue in 18 months. And I was fighting eczema for years. And I would look it up in my Louise Hay book. And I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying to me. Like, I see what you're telling me is antagonistic thoughts. And I was like, I don't know what antagonistic thoughts you think I'm having right now. But as soon as I actually did that inquiry and started asking questions, like better questions, eczema totally under control. Haven't had a flare in like 9 months.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how that works. And, you know, and we really want to transmute the thoughts, the feelings, the pain. And so, you know, when I'm frustrated, you know, I'll go outside. And I'll actually like stop my feed. Like, this is not going to stop me. It doesn't matter. So I was working on the website today and I was having a challenge with trying to line things up, and I was getting frustrated and I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to go in the grass. I'm literally going to stop my feed. And I'm like, this is not going to stop me. And this is just bullshit. And other people can figure this out. So I'll be able to figure this out. I'm smart and I'm intelligent and, you know, and kind of like F-bombed. And then I went back in and I felt great because I let go of that energy in my body. And I'm like, okay, now I can do this. I sat down and I'm like, oh yeah, I was missing this like little button here. You know, and so we can do that. Right? Like, I refuse to be stopped by something like Kajabi, right?
Yeah.
Which is the software program that I'm using. And, you know, and it's not Kajabi that's stopping me. It's my belief that I can't figure stuff out. I can figure anything out.
Yes, absolutely. Smart.
And I have connection, like all of us, connection to divine source. I mean, really, truly, I don't think we ever figure stuff out. And if we do, then it kind of leads to someplace maybe we don't necessarily want to go because we're trying to figure stuff out. Let's start. If we all just like stop trying to figure shit out, if we just stop trying to figure stuff out, we would be so much further ahead.
Yeah.
Nothing to figure out. Just surrender. Just like, what's next?
But you know, I think there's, and thanks for that, because that was actually my next question is like, what's a strategy that you can, that you use with your clients that helps them start to ease into, because it's practice, right? Like it's, and that's really what many things in spirituality are about. It's practice. It's building that confidence because you don't trust it at first. You question every step of the way. Like, did I feel that right? Did I sense it right? And I think that's why all of this self-care piece is like so important, right? And you and I had talked about this, right? Because remember, I'd be traveling back and forth and I would be, and I knew what it was. I would say to you, I'm like, I know that it's like really important for me to like do these things. And so now it's like without fail, because if I don't do those things, it's almost like, you know, if you think about going to the dentist, if you don't go to the dentist, you get like plaque buildup and your teeth don't, I went to the dentist today. That's why I'm using it as an example. But the point that I'm getting at is like, it's a buildup of all this stuff and stagnant energy. And if you don't do the self-care pieces, then you don't get, it's not that you can't, it's that it's bogged down. It's heavy. Like there's a lot of interference between your receptor and source, because they're trying. They're always talking to us. Oh. It's that we're heavy with a lot of energy and stuff that's not moving. So great example on like, again, how you balance the strategy and you were actually doing in the building of this website. Yeah. You were frustrated and you went and transmuted the energy so that you could come back to it. And that's, again, how I think people sometimes get confused with how you can really blend the two and not, doesn't always have to be woo. No. There's a super simple way to like move the energy from frustration to productivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other piece is, I mean, if we stop trying to use our mind to figure stuff out, but we utilize our intelligence, our brain pan, as my kids call it, to assess. So I'm assessing that I'm frustrated, or I'm assessing that I'm angry, or I'm whatever. And so then we can look at, okay, I'm angry. And so what's the reason, the story that I'm telling myself that I'm angry or frustrated or upset? I'm giving that a meaning. And what meaning am I giving it? I'm giving that meaning because I have a belief system. Well, what belief system do I have to give that meaning? And can I actually give it a different meaning? And lots of times I suggest people just to make stuff up. So I'll give an example is, you know, we are in a relationship with somebody, and it doesn't have to be a love relationship, but we text them and then they don't text back. Mm-hmm. And so then people get upset. Well, they didn't text me back. Okay, they didn't text you back. What meaning are you giving that?
Yeah.
They didn't text me back. No, that's just context. That's like, if there was no spice to it, it would be like, they didn't text you back. It'll be like robotic, they didn't text me back.
That's it. It's just a statement of what happened. They did not text me back. But if we added more to that, they did not text me back in the time frame that I had an expectation around.
Right? Exactly. And then what does that mean? That means that they're, I'm not important. It means that they're too busy for me. It means that they don't love me. It means that, and then they go off. And so then it's like, well, what else could it mean? And then, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, what if that person was kidnapped by bandits? Or aliens, yeah. Or lost their phone, or they forgot how to text. What if they had, you know, what if,
do you see how, and here's the word you always use, insidious. Do you see how insidious the ego is? Why did you just all of a sudden make that about you?
Yeah. Exactly. And we do that all the time. We make up stuff all the time. And so because we can make it up all the time, we can make it up in a fun,
like, that's true.
The dragon must have took it. The fairies must have taken the phone and hid it away. So we can have fun with it. And I say that to make light of it, so we can laugh, so we can see how, because that's just as quote unquote ridiculous as to think that because someone doesn't text us back, they don't love us. Like those are not one and the same, but so many people put them together.
Yeah. And you know, good reminder on that, because like, it's so easy when you're looking at it outside of being in the situation. Cause you know, you'll be having a conversation with somebody and they'll say exactly that. I texted so-and-so and they did not text me back in like 20 minutes. And I'm like, so like, at what point did you think, like, it's only because we have technology, like read receipts. Because back in the day, if you called somebody on their forget even answering machines. If you called somebody and they didn't answer their phone, you would not immediately go to, they don't love me and they didn't answer the phone. So it's nuts. And even if you had a conversation with somebody afterwards and told them all the things that you were thinking, they would look at you and be like, how did you get that from me not responding to a text message in like a day?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I always use that one because it's one of the things that will, you know, it will cook me up in my relationship with Rob. Right. And so it triggers me. And so that's why I use that lots, because it's like, it's one of the things that I work on at the end of the day. We're talking and he said, could it not be about you? Like, that was his, could this not actually be about you? Could you not make this about you? And I'm like, fine. And then I laugh, right? It's like, because how many times do we do that? We make something that's happening a thing about us when it's really not.
And you know, I love talking to you. So I know that you're absolutely we're going to do this again, but just in wrapping up, because we were talking about the mind. So how do you know, with your coaching clients, what are some strategies that you help them to just really calm and center, and probably because I'm just now reading a book about meditation and being really mindful. But so how do you get people to maybe bring that into their day? Like, how do we either start the day or even when things get really heightened throughout the day, how can we just take a moment and like be mindful and maybe even just calm and center ourselves so we can get through the day? You talked about transmuting the energy. How do we wrap that up then with some mindfulness?
I think the first, really what's most important, I'm seeing this more and more, is that we don't start our day scrolling on the phone.
Yeah.
So if we look at the actual addiction of our cell phone and the dopamine and the different hits that we get. And so I'm not a scientist. Dopamine is one of the major ones. And every time we scroll, we're being fed some sort of feel good hormone.
Yeah.
And so we start our day in an addictive state. And so then when we go to all through the day, you'll notice this, people are sitting at a bus and they're scrolling. They're at a restaurant with somebody and they're scrolling. They're stopped at a light and they're scrolling. Like, that it's, we have an epidemic. And so if we could just not start our day by scrolling, that's a fantastic place. Then if you can start by, whether you do a 2-minute meditation, a 5-minute meditation, or just simple breath work, right? Mm-hmm. So I have French press coffee in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I love that because it takes time and it allows me to do breath work. Sometimes I'll just do regular breath work. Sometimes I'll do breath of fire. Sometimes I'll do the Wim Hofmann method. And start the day.
And that then, scrolling one's a tough one. It's a real tough one.
Yeah, it's a real tough one.
Yeah.
And so I actually have to leave my phone out of the room.
Yeah.
It's such a challenge for, and part of that is my neurodivergent brain. So for those, what I mean by that is for those of you who have ADHD or ADD tendencies, it really is a struggle for us because we're looking for that dopamine hit, and the scrolling on a phone is the fastest way to get that. Mm. So if we leave it in a different room, do the breath work or journal or do oracle cards or meditate or go for a quick walk, go ground yourself. There's tons of grounding methods out there. And it doesn't have to be for an hour, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever that looks like. If you have a half an hour, fantastic.
Yeah.
Right. Set the intention for the day. What is the actual, whether it's called a goal or an intention, what do you want your day to feel like? What do you want it to look like? Maybe even run through a couple scenarios. If you have a meeting, you know, what's the end result of the meeting, that, you know, what would that feel good? If you have a sales call, what would that look like? If my intention this morning was I would be completely, my intention was to be as close to being completely done this program, setting it up and doing the back end stuff.
Yeah.
And then how would I feel? how'd I feel in all of that? And so then throughout the day, when you're frustrated or you're angry or start listening to your body. Like when I'm in my head too much, I get fuzzy. Like I feel fuzzy. Mm. And I know, oh, I need a break. I need a break.
Yeah.
And so then I will go outside. I might go in the hot tub. We have a hot tub here. I might jump in a hot tub and do like 10 minutes. I don't need an hour.
Yeah.
I'll do something that my body is calling me to do. I have a vibe plate here in my house. So I'll go do the vibe plate. I have a set of weights. I might do 5 or 10 squats. So that's the second piece. And the third piece is how are you feeding your body?
True.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I've noticed for myself is if I eat, I'm a grazer. If I honor my grazing and I eat more protein, I don't have low carb. My body can metabolize both protein and carbs and fat. But if I err on the side of protein, my brain doesn't get tired. So I need to bring protein for my brain. And then I become less resistant to receiving the messages as well. Mm-hmm. We feed our mind through affirmations. We feed our soul through meditation. We feed our body. Then we have mind, body, and soul. And then we are able to receive messages from higher self, from God mind. So much easier than if we're feeding garbage, scrolling, watching, TV. And I love TV. I watch TV. I watch TV every night for a minimum an hour, sometimes 2.5 hours. I'm not saying don't watch TV. Just be in awareness of what happens to you when you do watch TV.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Thank you so much for those juicy, juicy tips. I love talking to you. I could talk to you all day. For hours. I know we could really do that. We literally just did this last week too. So, thank you so much, Ranchelle. Any parting words? Where can people find you? How can they? You've got a podcast. We didn't even talk at all about your podcast.
Yes, I do. I have a podcast, Ignite Your Success with Ranchelle. And absolutely, or my RanchelleVanBryce.com, or you can find me on any of Insta, Facebook, LinkedIn, at Ranchelle. I'm very Googleable.
Yeah.
That's good or bad, but yes, I'm very Googleable. So reach out and connect with me. Absolutely. We want to have a conversation. Thanks, Charisse. Thanks
Excellent.
For today.
Thank you so much. And again, so grateful for you sharing your story and all that goes with that. So you will be back again. And thank you.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Thank you again so much for joining myself and Ranchelle today as we talked about different ways that you can weave some of your spirituality or faith practice into your business and making decisions on a day-to-day basis. So really, in summary, a lot of it is about learning really how to balance action with intuition. And my favorite word of all time, of course, is surrender. So if you enjoyed today's content and the content that I've been bringing you over these last few weeks, please feel free to continue to listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you have any questions or feedback, or if you'd love to be a guest, please reach out to me at Charisse, that's Charisse, at yourcollective.ca. And until next time, please take care.